Rusty Quill presents.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
We return to our three fools, getting high in a corn maze at the Scuttle Steps creation point as they digest recent revelations, both from Celestine's memories and from their new business partner, Harley Highstakes. They are joined by Tutor Larch, who reveals that Finale 13 has gained notoriety by broadcasting calls for emergency relief in Paragarden, and by openly critiquing Uncle Edict's policies. After Simon delivers a surprisingly cogent treatise on ethics, the crew contact 13 via Pip and convince them to ramp up their opposition to Edict. The next morning, the fools rise early and depart for the Jaggedy Jack's creation point, the nearest to Riskotech Casino. Upon their arrival, the crew are greeted by the tutor, a very old Gears android named Cherry, who they know to be loyal to Edict. Simon quickly becomes infatuated with Cherry's animal companion, Sydney the Sloth, and vows to return for Sydney when his mission is complete. To cover their tracks, Celestine alters Tutor Cherry's memory. Rather than the three fools, Cherry will recall having met only one person, Vlad Honorific. With the tutor distracted, Celestine jacks into the creation point server and delves once more into his own memories. Celestine finds himself on his maker's workbench at a time when he, or rather Rom, was very recently created. Rom's maker, Advisor Fate, shows him two identical copies of the Wheel of Fortune. One a real relic, and one a fabrication. Fate notes that the amplifier needs all the relics to work as intended, allowing Regent FaZe to perfect immortality. But Fate intends to sabotage the endeavor by secretly swapping in his fake wheel. Fate instructs Rom to keep the replica relic a secret, along with one other secret, that Rom himself was constructed to be immortal. When his maker's attention is pulled away towards some beans and their oil, Rom explores the workshop, discovering some items that present-day Celestine is familiar with, including an unmarked metal box with a keyhole. And then, driven by a desire he doesn't fully understand, Rom mocks the real wheel with a tiny, five-pointed star. And as the memory fades, we rejoin our fools in the present day as they continue their journey back to the Wheel of Fortune's current home, Riskotech Casino.
I can hear you. I am listening. I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Collide.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork,
the neon,
the networks.
Oh, these metropolises, these
verdant and
desolate biomes.
Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success.
You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we have been compromised.
But do not despair.
You will
see the world. You will
know
Planet Arcana.
You will find
all it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little audacity.
All it takes is a key.
Another memory received, another journey back and forward through time. And as you arrive back in the present day at the Jaggedy Jack's creation point, you make haste to get back to your hawk before the tutor's business with Sydney is complete. And you steal away into the jungle towards Tropo Neo Vega. You drive.
I think Celestine hasn't really said anything since he's come out of the memory and just continues to be silent on the drive, unsmoked joint tucked behind his ear, still hasn't bothered to, like, put back on his cowboy hat or anything like that. Just driving.
Simon's gonna, like, sidle over to him and be like, "Are you okay, buddy? You've barely touched your joint."
Just thinking, that's all.
A curse and a blessing.
That it is.
Do you want to talk about it?
I think Celestine pulls off to the side of the road and just starts crying.
And like Simon's kind of like scoops him under, puts an arm over him, scoops him kind of closer to him in the bucket. Bucket seat? Can we say it's a bucket seat? Or not bucket seat.
Bench.
Bench. You here with me, not way over in a bucket seat. Anyway, yes.
Okay. I was doing it to remember. Seeing if,
I mean, y'all saw that, right? I'm supposed to be immortal. I've been hanging on to this idea that, that Rom might have been somebody else, that I just have a piece of Rom in me. But I think that's out the window now. I was made by Advisor Fate. I was made to be immortal. And I don't want to be immortal. I'm, far as I can tell, immortal just means you keep going when everybody you love is gone. And the more I remember, the more it seems like I already been through that. I don't want to be. And it's wrong, isn't it? I mean, isn't that what the whole plan was? Keep Regent FaZe from being immortal? And everybody conspired against her, and meanwhile they made me to be immortal?
Celestine, I may not be immortal, but I've lived a really long time in the context of, you know, what you remember about being alive. And the value of death or life of one person is defined not just by that person, but by the community. And, you know, we're your community, and it's not just a straight ahead answer. You're destined for something.
But why me? If Regent FaZe, if it was wrong for her to be immortal, why is it okay for me to be immortal? Why me?
I mean, I couldn't think of a more kind-hearted person to have this power in their hands.
Someone thought you could handle it.
And built you to handle it.
But it ain't right. It's against nature.
Says who?
I mean, you know more about nature and well, the nature of the world than any of us, Simon. You know that being immortal, that not having an end to the cycle is, well, it's just ain't right.
The one thing I know about the natural order of things is that chaos or exponential sensitivity to small perturbations appears everywhere in nature. It's part of it. It can't be predicted. We say natural order, but that's not the right word. We're always introducing new things. We can remember when the Fae came to be, for instance. And I think what made it so enticing for me to join you two on this journey in the first place is that you are after something new and something interesting that'll change the scope in which we exist in this world forever. That's important. Nothing ever stays the same.
It seems to me like Mesmera, who is collecting all the best pieces of people and trying to build her own, well, thing like me, I guess, we're setting out to stop her. But what makes what she's doing any more wrong than what I'm doing by just existing?
Ms. Mira has a sinister streak. A selfish, sinister streak. And while chaos is everywhere in nature, so is selfishness. But in the face of collective good, it can be opposed. Because it's often not looking at that. And I don't see anything of that close to that in you.
I mean, maybe not yet, but up till now, I didn't really know what I was. I was just Celestine, and that ain't even my name.
It is to us. It is to you. That's all that counts. And you had a chance to learn good through Celestine's eyes, through your eyes, without the knowledge of what you have access to. And I think that sets you apart from Ms. Mira in a big way.
Celestine just nods a bit.
Let me ask you something, Crater. With all this talk of mortality and immortality and your own very private situation that you're in, what's going through your head right now?
I'm definitely conflicted. I think like a part of Crater is also like a little bit jealous of Celestine. This is not fair to put on him, but like, you know, he has a get out of jail free card. He's upset by it. A lot of people would want that, but I also get it. It's a big responsibility, I guess. Like a part of me feels jealous, but also a part of me, like I feel for the kid.
Would this, like, thought pattern be detectable at all?
Like, it just comes off as sadness. Like, I'm listening to Celestine be sad, and I'm just sitting there listening.
I don't know what to think about this, y'all. I don't know.
It's still so fresh, Celestine. You don't have to have an answer right away. And you don't have to have the answers to everything, either.
When I think about the idea that I might keep going long enough to lose everybody again, the way I lost Sombra and all these other people that I'm just remembering, what if I keep going and I forget y'all? And I forget Ma and Pa and FB and everybody else? What if that all happens again?
You might live long enough that you meet another group of people that you love. Done it again. You may have done it in between.
It just don't feel right, Crater.
I know.
But I guess... I guess we got business. So, Celestine just wipes his eyes with his sleeves and... All right, okay, we gotta get going. I'm sorry, folks. Thank y'all.
Do not be sorry.
All right, Troponia Vega. Celestine just puts it into gear and gets back driving again.
Away from the Jaggedy Jack's creation point you drive, thoughts of mortality heavy on your mind. Troponia Vega is directly north from here, but like all creation points, you're far from the main road. Last time you drove through the Phantom Miles, you stayed off the roads too, though you weren't in this part of the island. Last time, the view is familiar. A misty, lush, green jungle filled with colorful birds and fruit, and an everlasting smell of petrichor. After a few hours of driving, you spot something ahead. A strange movement in the trees. No, a strange movement of the trees.
Oh, we are in territory.
Is it a... Do they groan as they get up? Is it a...
there is a distinct groaning from the several tall palm trees gathered in a circle, facing inward, and boy, the daddy vibes emanating from this huddled meeting are strong.
Daddy!
Are they impeding our progress?
I think gently so. Like, they're sort of impeding your passage. Like, all of them have their backs to you and, like, facing inward in this circle.
Okay. Can I just, like, roll down the window and stick my head out? What up, daddies?
Oh, there's a cacophony of dad sounds.
Oh, hold on, daddy, hold on. There's a hello. Oh, hello.
Hey, Pops. Do you think we could, like, just... sneak on by here? We're just going this direction.
Oh, I'm afraid not official daddy business going on right now, and very, very, very important matters relating to the entire planet, I'm afraid. If you could just, I guess you can't fly upward. The canopy's too thick. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, gents. You're just gonna have to stay there till daddy business is concluded.
Simon's gonna pop his head out next to Craters and be like, Daddy, big fan.
Oh, a daddy admirer, is it?
Yeah. My name's Simon. Faye Captain, actually.
Oh.
Yep. Captain the Faye's right here.
We got ourselves some hoi polloi here, daddies. Well, I'm Arnold Palmer. And this is a convening of the dads, and... Simon, you said, hey?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a different name before, but I can't pronounce it with this mouth.
No, I know. No need. I believe I've heard talk from the other Fae regarding a certain Simon that is very, very special to the Empress. Oh, the Empress just loves you, huh?
Yeah, I bet she does. Can you tell me about this official daddy business? I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if you felt it, but that big boom that occurred a couple seasons back, well, it threw the whole planet out of whack. And
yeah, amen.
In the aftermath, it was just a surge of primordial daddy power that really threw some of us out of whack and is just absolutely mucking about with the insides of the planet, which, as dad trees with roots that span almost the entire planet, we're kind of the front lines here.
No kidding. How is it affecting the daddies?
Well, some of us aren't built for that much primordial power, and we got especially cranky in the very immediate aftermath. When all that calmed down, well, geez, we started poking our roots down and trying to figure out how this is all gonna continue to affect us, and, well, the rest of the planet, of course. Right now, we're kind of probing for... Well, we're trying to figure out how we can help.
Mm. And I presume you're reaching down with the mycelium network?
Oh, we got a tree expert on your hands here.
Yeah.
You know, we're merging our root systems to try to find answers. It's really nice to meet another Fae who appreciates the dad root mycelium network. Oof. You know, a lot of the other Faes, they don't even know about that. They don't even know that the root systems actually predate anything that we know of. The dad tree magic, not so much, but the root systems have been there since the very beginning, long enough to know the beasts for sure.
The beasts?
Oh, yeah. You know about those guys?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're feeling kind of different since the big boom. Like there's something else in there with them. And they haven't responded like that in all the time, in all the time that we've been Fae.
Hmm. No kidding.
Yeah, well, and eventually, you unrooted Fae, as we call ya, you're gonna start to feel it too.
I think we're starting to feel it more than you think.
Oh?
In fact, that's what brings us here today. Our goals are not so dissimilar.
Oh?
And we're on a bit of a mission to find out more about how to restore some kind of order, because things are getting out of control. So, you know, all this to say, do you think there's any way that we could possibly get by?
Look, I just told you about the roots. How long do you think it's gonna take us? We just spent 3 hours groaning, getting our roots all wrapped up together. Surely you heard us from a mile away. We got ourselves situated, and now you're coming over here, you're telling us we gotta uproot ourselves? We're gonna have to finish our business first. But I'll tell you what, you said that you're, we got ourselves somebody with a bit of a sweet station in Fadum. Don't we? With the Empress being all invested in yous.
Oh, I suppose.
Well, I will give you a heads up that, some of the other Fae are sounding kind of jealous. They want to be the special.
Oh, for God's sakes. Fae are petty.
Yeah, well, some of us are petty and some of us are daddies and some of us are human.
Some of us are both.
Yeah, some of us are both. Some of us, you seem to be a whole lot of all of it, to be honest. I mean, so no offense meant. You just
none taken.
You're something a little new is all I'm saying. Look, they don't teach you tact in dad tree school.
That's absolutely true.
They have a school?
Daddy school.
Yeah, when we fall as seeds to the forest floor, it's a real ordeal. Not all of us become dads.
Well, what would you say to a little deal?
Oh. What do you think, dads? And there's a mumble of interest that goes up.
We will be allowed to go on our way in exchange for a juicy, juicy game of truth or dare.
Oh.
Simon.
What? I'll do it.
Look, when we met you, I thought we made this clear.
I have been dying to do truth or dare for so long, and I've been keeping wraps on it for you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm afraid once the proposal's made, it's gotta happen. Okay, this is great, though, because you might be able to tell us something very interesting. Okay, so, truth or dare?
Well, go ahead, Simon.
Dare.
Okay. First one I'm going to ask, what do you three know about any fools?
Sorry, that's the dare?
Oh, I dare you to tell me everything you know. No,
that's so cheap. You can't do that.
Wow.
Daddy, I'm calling foul on that. You can't do that. That's not any spirit of truth or dare.
Okay. All right, fine. You want a dare? I'm going to give you a dare.
Give me a dare.
You there, the one who protested against me playing foul.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Read out the last dirty text you sent or received.
Just so we're clear, he selected dare, so you're making me do a dare.
Yeah, look, you're a unit as far as I'm concerned.
What kind of bullshit pick a dare game is this?
We're dads, and we made the rules, okay? You're either going to play truth or dare our way, or you're going to wait around for the next 8 hours as we complete our
Therefore, it's their rules. That's very dadly. It makes sense.
It's the order of things. Mm.
All right, sorry. What was the question again? Or the dare?
Read out the last dirty text you sent or received.
Okay. Pull out my phone and scroll for a minute. Okay. All right, so the last one I received. Anytime I eat pineapple, I think about you.
Celestine peers over Crater's shoulder to try and see who that text was from.
That was Arbor.
What does that mean, pineapple? I don't, Crater, what is that?
Like spiny or?
Yeah, why don't you walk us through
Tangy,
that?
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, it's a textural thing. you know, I'm prickly on the outside, but I'm mushy on the inside.
Mm, yuck.
I mean, are pineapples supposed to be mushy? Are you eating bad pineapples, Crater?
Is it like that sloth?
Spiny on the outside, mushy on the inside.
It's got the poops.
It's got the poops.
All right, so Crater's got the poops, and whenever Arbor thinks about pineapple, he thinks about Crater pooping. Have I got it?
Yeah, that's the sexiest message I've received recently.
That's some great tea. I'm very satisfied. It wasn't how I tried to game it, but I'm glad where we ended up. All right, I guess it's your turn.
Okay, Daddy.
Well, we dare you to let us by.
Yeah. Well, okay, first, truth or dare?
Truth.
God damn it. Damn it.
They don't escape too well.
Show your hand, I'm afraid.
God, I don't know why that tickled me so much.
Just backwards so
fuck. Okay. What is a most interesting thing that you've discovered amongst your ranks about that big boom and the consequent, imbalance that we're all feeling that we might not know about? Have you found any juice?
Any juice, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, the whole planet's kind of being juiced with this surge of primordial power that hasn't been experienced since before the big oops, honestly. I think the thing that stuck out to us dads is that the beasts seem to be responding. Well, I mean, our best guess is that they're responding to fools. But the real trick of it is that they haven't responded like this to any previous fools.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, the daddies are sensitive to cycles, and we might not be able to point them out when we see them, but when there's a fool trying to complete the collective journey, some of this primordial energy comes through, and eventually it fizzles out. We don't know why, we just can feel it. This time, that primordial energy is like 100-fold, and not only that, the beasts have taken notice, and boy, as the only creatures alive ever, as far as we know, who can transcend planes, it's either really good or really bad, and I guess what we're trying to do right now is ask the planet, how can we help the fools? Truth or dare?
Truth.
Dare.
Fuck.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right, we're getting one of each. All right, let's start with the truth. Have any of you gotten any information about the fools or seen anything foolish on your travels?
May I have a brief moment with my friends here before we answer?
Yep.
All right, so let's
Let's three of us huddle up.
Yeah, huddle up.
Simon, You seem to have a connection with these folk. They are fey like yourself. Do you think that there is any danger in simply declaring ourselves who we are?
Well, daddies don't really trust very easily. Once you gain their trust, it's a pretty big deal. They're a suspicious bunch. And they wouldn't say that they're looking to help the fools unless they really meant it. So maybe I'm being a little, brazen with all of this, but I'm inclined to trust them. However, if you don't, I understand. We can take this as safe as we need to.
Simon, I trust your instincts on the Fae. So if you think we can trust them, I'm inclined to go with that. It might be beneficial for us.
Fae don't fuck with Fae.
Well, I also have to believe that there's a reason why you're with us, Simon, and why you specifically have become a fool, and this is not the first time where your Fae ancestry has been of help to us in our journey. Perhaps this is the right course of action to confide in these other Fae.
All right.
Daddies?
We have some information to confide in you.
Okay, all right. Lay it on old Arnold Palmer. You can trust me.
So the fools you're after?
Yep.
You might want to sit down.
Well, that might take longer than we have.
Oh, there it goes. Just fall. Just fall. That's not all you have to do. Just, oh, my God.
We won't look, I swear.
I just don't want him to fall over, you know? He's a daddy. The fools, you're looking at them. Three, to be exact.
Excuse me for a moment. Excuse me. I know what I'm going to fools over there. Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. Oh. Well, all right. I'm very excited, but I got to be reasonable here. Do you have any proof?
Let's show them the box.
Get a load of this, mother.
Oh, my God. Oh, put that thing away. The power levels are off the charts.
I know.
Christ. Oh, no. My roots. Oh, I thought I felt that coming from a mile away, but you never know what the hell's going on since this boom. Holy crap. Oh. Wow. Well.
At your service.
At our service. Well, I was to... Well, we want to be... Well, as much as we can, we want to help you. Holy crap. All right, well, so you know everything I've been talking about. The beasts, all of this shit, the mycelium network.
Yeah.
I mean, what can we do for you? Okay, I'm sorry. First things first, we got to stand on procedure here. I dare you.
Right, there was a dare. That's right.
To do your best Shrek impression.
I think we all just turned to Crater.
Sorry, so we are now putting our foot down and saying Shrek is canon in Planet Arcana. Is that what you're saying? Are you willing to cross this line on the broadcast?
Somebody once told me dad would love it.
Shrek is a famous fae, as everybody knows.
Yes, Shrek is a fae.
Okay. Get out of my swamp.
Celestine claps.
More.
Donkey.
Oh, it's like Shrek is right here.
Ogres are like onions. We have... Oh, I'm Arnold all of a sudden. They have layers.
Oh. All right, no more. Oh, I'm going to pass out.
Really, really.
All right. How can we help you?
Well, as we said, we do have business beyond this place, and so at the very least, we would hope that we could politely move past you and continue on our journey.
Oh, man, doesn't seem like enough. We've convened here in the forest for the purposes of throwing our lot behind, what we believe is best for the planet. Hold on, let me talk with the dads. All right, we have a plan. We'll move out of the way. We'll cancel the Council of Dads, and we'll leave you, and he points at Simon, probably the only one among the three of you can use this. We'll bestow upon you a boon of the dads.
Oh, damn. What kind of boon are we talking here?
Well, get on out of the car and dig your fingers in this here soil, and you'll get it from our roots.
Okay. Simon jumps out of the window and then kind of just jams his fingers into the ground.
Is this the beginning of a dad joke of some sort? Reach in and grab my roots? I don't know.
Just failed on that so hard.
All right, you asked for a dad joke, and it's the law of the dads that I must deliver. All right. What does a tree drink?
Sap?
What? Water?
No. Root beer.
Oh, my stars.
Dads love beer and we've got roots.
Wow.
It is hilarious and factually correct.
Oh, boy. Oh, God, that really
took Daddies never disappoint.
No, we do not. All right, get your fingers in there. You feel around you.
Oh, they're in.
Oh, boy, oh, there they are.
Okay. I feel the mycorrhizal roots.
Yeah, you feel those mycorrhizal roots? Okay.
Just
feel that. Go further. Let it wrap around your fingers here, okay?
Okay. Simon's eyes roll back into his head.
Yeah, that's supposed to happen. Yep, that's good. All right, dads, give him some of that ancient root power. As the groaning rises up over the canopy and can probably be heard, the birds are like flying away. You feel imbued into you the power of the root network, and with that comes an understanding of what you will be able to do with this boon they have bestowed upon you. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's feeling the deadliness now.
Something kind of like otherworldly takes over Simon's mouth and says, "Once per day, you may shift a part of your body into a system of roots. Dig your roots deep into the earth and ask a question. The DMs will provide you with an answer from the planet. 10 minutes does not use a spell slot." And Simon has been bequeathed ancient root knowledge.
Sweet.
Sweet.
I mean, it's very cool. What do you want from me? That's an awesome power.
Cool, man.
Cool, man.
Dope.
Sweet.
Take it for a test drive, Simon.
Okay. He plunges his fingers once again into the ground and takes it for a little test drive. Now, ask a question. I'm going to take a moment and just convene with Celestine and Crater. I feel like there's something to do. Like, do you think the Earth would know the true name? Like, is there something there that we could, like, with the beasts?
I mean, obviously that's very tempting, but a part of me feels like this is something that the planet knows. And would the planet be concerned with names?
I mean, like, can we ask maybe like about like a location of something, like this lake house that we keep hearing about? Like, ooh, we know it's in the Phantom Isles somewhere, but we don't have it. We don't have that honed in.
This I like very much.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, I'm gonna ask that. So Simon asks of the planet, because I feel like the planet understands the goings on of social structures and language and things like that in like a very passive sense. And Simon asks the coordinates, the exact whereabouts of the lake house.
You send the question down into the root network, down through the planet. And just as you're able to feel every root and every vein and every seam, you can feel it almost mirroring in your own body through your network of blood veins. Network of veins.
Blood veins.
Roots. Yeah. You're the roots of the body.
Blood roots.
What are veins if not?
Whoa.
And the answer comes to you not in words, but in an energy transfer from the planet to yourself. It actually seeps into your veins and into your awareness. And were you now to be given a map, you would be able to mark within a foot of where the location you're seeking is.
Simon coughs and his eyes roll back into its usual spot, and he takes his fingers out of the ground and puts his hands above his head and goes, "Yay!"
Yeah, that's right.
Anybody got a map? Does it go away?
No, it's in there. You got it.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably we've got like, you know, like that all the creation points are like, you know, information centers for visitors, and they all have maps at them and stuff like that. We probably have maps in the car somewhere.
For sure.
Oh, easily. In the glove box?
Yeah.
No fucking problem.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah, like where like generally is this thing then? Is it near Troponia Vega?
Yeah, it's close to Troponia Vega.
Okay. Tight.
After we deal with Mesmera and all of that, we can fuck around on the lake, right? Like, we can take a little lake break.
Lake just break. Take the boat out.
Oh,
let's
what
have
is
a,
your oyster.
I need a lake break. You didn't let me have the sloth. Let me have a lake break.
Sloth is your final reward.
My boon. What was her name again? Leslie? No.
Sydney.
Sydney.
Okay.
Sid.
I don't want to call attention to the Mr. Burblesing that's happening, but if you can't remember your sloth's name, then I don't
know.
You
don't deserve a sloth.
To begin with.
Listen, the long line of Sydney's has a bit of a sordid past. Maybe maybe we need to ask the sloth what she wants her name to be.
Damn.
Granola.
None of us thought about granola. Sydney.
And granola, ye shall be called.
I hear Paloma.
Paloma. Paloma. I like Paloma.
Paloma's nice.
It's nice.
Let's ask her when we see her next, which will be soon, right?
Yeah. Yes. Holy.
Perfect.
It wasn't just set dressing for that.
No.
Creation point. Oh, don't worry, we have really involved plans for Sydney with this campaign.
Paloma.
Oh, we might Paloma. Have to kill Sydney. I mean, presumably yeah, Sydney is aligned with Edict. Yes, yeah, Sydney is Mesmera, obviously.
Right. Yep, you guessed it. Yeah. Fuck.
Sydney Calamanite.
Oh. Yeah, Calamanite's first name is Sydney.
Oh, God.
Sydney Calamanite.
It's been right in front of us this whole time.
That's right, yeah.
Holy shit. Well, damn. I got it. It's perfect. It's right where we're going. And I know exactly where it is.
Oh, already putting your dad powers to use, huh?
Dads. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, I'm sure you'll find a way someday. You know, maybe you can erect a statue, Dad, of Daddy Palm Legs, of Arnold Palmer, and thanks. It's up to us to look out for you, little fools.
Well, do you know who I'm tight with are the Mother Trees. And they are able to recognize their kin, and maybe it's about time you didn't just communicate by passing nutrients back and forth, am I right?
I don't know exactly what you have in mind, but it sounds exciting.
I'll put in a good word.
Yeah, put in several. That would be great.
I might also have something that I can offer by way of thanks for your assistance. This is something that my ma taught me. She is a great tender of plants.
Ooh.
And I hope that you can make good use of this, perhaps, for when you connect with the mama trees. And Celestine will cast plant growth in the area.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my roots and bones. That feels good.
Hell yeah. You're looking very healthy and lush.
Well, you thank your ma for us dads. And thanks to you, too, fella.
Well, daddies, it's been a pleasure. And I'm going to leave you with a little bug talk. I know you guys like bugs, your little buds.
Hell yeah, we love bugs.
What what do a bed bug and the Eiffel Tower have in common?
Oh no. Oh no, what?
They're both parasites.
It took me
and a chorus of dad laughs echo into the forest. Oh,
you're a natural, Simon.
You know, I've been a fan for so long. It's just felt so natural to meet them, you know? Really good.
All right. I suppose then we should all be on our way.
You drive for the better part of a few days through the Phantom Isles, making your way directly north to Troponeo Vega. And I assume that, like, you just pull off to safe points every time you can to rest overnight. Like, you're not driving through the night or anything.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
No.
Cool. So a few nights and a few days pass, and then finally the city starts to breach the horizon and starts to get bigger and closer. And eventually you drive into the outskirts of Troponeo Vega. Each side of the road is lined with trees, their roots breaking through the cement at points, and their trunks covered by thick parasitic vines, tracing the length of the tree, reaching over 300 feet in height in some places. The vines spread above you, creating a thick canopy that blots out most of the sky. When you see lights up ahead, you know you're almost there, and moments later you break through the pavilion of vines into the city itself. Almost immediately do the skyscrapers rise up before you, as the trees did. Troponeo Vega, the neon jungle city that balances crime, luck, hedonism and law on the edge of a coin. The city feels as though it's stacked in layers, glowing vines and massive palm fronds sprouting from every crack, crevice, and skyscraper precipice. Drops of condensation collect on glass and glowing billboard screens, carving glistening paths as they drip down from the canopy level to the pavement far below, refracting the neon lights into a hazy miasma. And as you take it all in once again, you are faced with your first entrance guardian of the city, the toll booth.
Celestine, before we drive up here, Celestine's like, Simon, I need you to take the wheel on this one.
Okay. Just so you know, that one time that we had the big race was my first time driving.
No, I taught you to drive on the way back to Lonestead, and I taught you all the most important lessons,
like where
the gas and the brake were, and
I just forgot
that you needed to press them at different times.
Okay, are you going to go down at the bottom of the, like, you're gonna hide?
I am going to hide, yes. Okay. I was going to maybe, like, duck down in the back seat. I don't want to be recognized at this toll booth.
Understood. Say no more. And Simon hauls ass into the driver's seat, accepting the responsibility with vigor.
Okay, eventually you reach the point where there's that, like, that bar that goes up and down. Mm-hmm. It's currently down. And a window pops open at the booth next to you, and, Creator, you'd recognize him. It's Tollbooth Tony. Hey, how's it going? Okay, do we got ourselves a frickin' Phantom Isles National Park pass, or what? Frickin' hello? Come on. It's a toll booth, man. You got yourselves a national park pass, or are you gonna pay the toll? Jesus.
We're just passing right through, though. We're not actually stopping. That doesn't count,
yeah,
right?
Like, you still gotta pay it. It goes towards maintenance of the frickin' Phantom Isles. God,
okay.
It's your first time in a frickin' toll booth?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm learning.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, whatever.
Well, how much is the toll, good sir?
Well, it's $250 a person.
Jesus.
So we're looking at $500, unless you got a pass. Do you got a pass? Most people live in the area. They got a pass.
Crater, do we have a pass?
No. Sir, we don't have enough for two people. Can you just, like, let it slide just this one time?
Let it slide? Tom, get out here. You hear what he just asked me? Can we let it
Can't
slide?
Can't we come to some other arrangement?
Oh. I'm all ears.
No, that was, I didn't, I, that was jokes off
that?
To the side.
Who said that? No,
what
said
about
that?
Some other kind of arrangement?
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, it was you all along. That was funny.
Yeah.
I thought I heard it coming from somewhere else, like below
I
you.
I can
but...
throw my voice.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay. Oh, okay, well, it has to be worth $500 because that's how much we're going to get fined if we let you through.
You know what? Fuck this. I don't want to go to this park anyways. Simon, you can go ahead without me.
Then Crater.
I'm just going to get out of the car and just walk like 28 feet away.
Okay.
I'm going to turn to the guys and I'm going to be like sniffling. I'll be like, it's our anniversary.
Your anniversary with that guy that just walked away?
Yeah.
Dude, you deserve better. That was rude.
No, it's my dream. The reason why we're here is that it's my dream to go to the Jack Strait. To the coast, and we made this plan for our anniversary.
Oh my god, okay, I'm sorry, but you realize I'm a toll booth twin. Hey, I hear these sob stories like at least 5 times a day. I'm really sorry about your anniversary and all this shit. If I let you pass, they're gonna count the number of cars that came through, they're gonna count the number of times a pass was scanned, and they're gonna see no pass scanned here, and they're gonna bill us $500. You think we're made at $500?
I don't think you're made of $500.
Tom, are you here? Are we made at $500, Tom?
No.
Yes, what I thought. Sorry. You're gonna have to offer me something.
Hmm.
Although your story did make me a little bit sad, so, like, you know, you might get advantage on whatever something that might have to get rolled eventually.
Would it make sense to be doing, like, some kind of, like, perception of, like, what these guys, what their lives are like who they're, if they have a loved one, if they, like, what their sensitivities are?
No role needed. You look inside the toll booth and you see a vision board that's been carefully crafted with, you know, just like, it's a collage of a bunch of inspo pics, and
the title of it that's like been cut out of a bunch of magazines is The Party That Never Was. And it's just a bunch of like pictures cut out of
Fuck.
Parties and cocktails and, you know, just the works. It seems like they were quite affected by being invited to a party and never getting to go.
Wow.
You know, we met him and I at a party.
At a party?
Yeah.
What kind of party?
It was one that was thrown by a friend of mine and also crashed by a friend of ours. A riot, do you know?
Riot?
Yeah.
You went to a party where Riot was at? You know Riot?
Were they talking about Riot over there?
They're talking about Riot. Remember when Riot drove through here? We got invited to that party and we could never go to the party? It's what our vision board's all about. Oh my god.
That's right.
Oh my god. Do you have... What's the lowdown on the parties? Holy shit, please, I'll do anything.
Well...
Time for a new vision board.
Oh my god.
It was the greatest party of my life. Second only to... The party that Riot threw us for our wedding.
Oh my god, you're getting me all worked up. You gotta give me the lowdown on the party. I'm a party person. I need to be at a party. We both need to be at a party.
Well, we're thinking...
Okay, is this too much information to give? We're like, I'm just like, we're thinking of coming back through Troponeo Vega after we visit the Jack Strait, say the lake house, for instance. And that we're thinking of attending a secret party at Riskotech. Is that, like, giving away too much?
Lots of people would attend things like that at Riskotech, so it doesn't feel like it would place any, you know, any extra eyes on you that would be perilous.
What if you give Riot's PIP number out?
Oh, my fucking
God. Don't think she'll mind.
Well, I'll tell you what. Great idea, by the way.
Oh, please.
So our plan... was to go to the Jack Strait and see the coast for the first time. And then we were going to come back to Troponeo Vega, where Riot... I shouldn't even be saying this. You can't tell anyone. You can't say that you heard this from me. She's going to be so mad at me.
Okay, no, for real. No, you can trust us, Tom.
Yep.
Riot is most likely going to be throwing...
Oh, my God.
...a super secret super party. At Riskotech.
Oh my fucking god.
Holy shit.
And it's on Geralt's. And I can give you her PIP number.
Oh shit. Oh my god, Tom.
Oh my god.
Holy
Oh my god.
Okay. No. Absolutely.
But I don't think it would happen if we can't get through. I don't know if there's any incentive for her to be there.
Obviously, we're going to get you through here. We got to get you to the party. Riot's got to be expecting our text. Okay. No. Absolutely. Totally. I am going to ask for a persuasion roll here. It is, like, you've succeeded. You're getting past, but you might get an extra little something.
Sure.
So roll with advantage for me.
Crater, what are you doing 28 feet away?
I don't know. I had a different plan, but this is working out better. So, like, I might just, like, awkwardly start
just
making my way back towards the car.
Yeah.
I don't know.
24 persuasion.
All right. I tell you what. We don't want you getting in any more of these situations before the party happens. Take the National Park Pass. This is mine. I won't be able to leave, so I'm trusting you to come back. But this should get you anywhere on the Phantom Isles, okay?
Wow.
Tell Riot I did this.
I will. It's... Tom? Tony? Wonderful.
Tony? I'm Tony. Yeah. Tom. Tom's right here.
I'm Tom.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, you can
I'm
take
Tom.
A picture
Hi.
If you need.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how these parties work.
Cheese.
Just,
Cheese.
Cheese. Okay. I'm going to give you a number.
Oh my god, here it comes. Holy shit.
And, Simon writes Riot's PIP number, which I think, I don't know how he knows it. Maybe it was, like, put into his brain when they... swapped energy or some shit, but he writes it down on a piece of paper and hands it over.
Is it like 555 Riot?
Oh my god.
Yep.
Yes.
Or 55 Riot?
55 Riot, yeah, double R, right.
55 Riot?
55 Riot.
69 Riot?
69 Riot. It's 69 Riot. There it is.
6-9? Wait, okay, 69.
69 RR.
Oh my IoT. God. All right. Wow. Boy. Real sorry about your anniversary, by the way.
Oh, it's okay. Like, he's
oh,
just
yeah,
so
it's gonna be
good.
All right.
He's willing to
yeah.
forego his own experiences for my own.
Wow.
And I'm so lucky.
That's a keeper right there.
You know, it's just, you know, dreams aren't worth pursuing unless you have someone to celebrate them with.
That's right. And now you have us.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
and also we can both get through to the
But yes, totally.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, both of you go on your way. Enjoy the stray.
Thank you.
And we'll be texting Riot Form from the party. Holy shit, we're going to a fucking party with Riot Form.
Tollbooth Tom cracks the vision board over his knee.
Thank you.
All right, go on.
Thank
through.
You for
bless you.
Thank you for believing in love.
I believe.
And if Riot doesn't get back to you right away, like, don't worry. She's just like so hard to get in touch with. But just
oh,
expect.
Oh no, don't worry.
It's calm
we're so
eventually.
Cool. Yeah, we're gonna be super cool about it. Don't worry.
Yeah, thank you. You don't know how much this means to me, Crater.
are we getting through?
Yes.
Okay.
Honey
well,
bear.
I'll awkwardly make my way back to the car and. Climb back in, I guess. Yeah.
As you drive away, you can like y'all still have Riot's pip, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear like 5 messages coming at once. Like as you're driving
can block
away.
That number. Holy shit.
Yeah. No. I don't want to like leave them with nothing. Maybe we can figure it out as we go. Put it on the back burner.
Oh my god.
Yeah. We should definitely give them a little some hope. Give them a little hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Slash. Who knows what we're gonna encounter? Maybe we can invite them to a party.
Why? They're so not chill. It would not be fun at a party.
Well, speaking of pips, as you drive on through the toll booth and start to make it into the city proper, Celestine's pip lights up once again with an incoming call from Harley.
Anybody want this?
Nope.
You got it, bud.
I guess Simon's still driving, so
yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm driving. It's legal.
Hey, Harley.
Hello.
Just pulls How's the phone away from his ear. Hey,
we're good. How you holding up?
Well, I'm a little antsy. Very excited. And I haven't heard from you in like another fucking week. So, what's up?
We just managed to get into Tropo Neo Vega.
Marvelous. So, back where it all, well, where I met you anyway. Welcome back to my soon-to-be turf. All right, perfect timing. I have some information for you. If you're ready to receive it, you have a pen, paper?
Sure. And I'm just going to put you on speaker so Simon and Crater can hear.
Hello, boys.
Hi.
Oh,
sorry. I'm driving, sorry.
Okay, I understand.
I'm navigating.
Okay.
Harley stresses Simon out.
Oh, what a warm reception. Well, all right, here's the information. I'm going to have one of my guys going to the hotel on 346 Seaside Drive. You know the one on 346 Seaside Drive. If you don't, just go to 346 Seaside Drive. You're going to go in, ask for room 949. Just go up and walk directly in. They know you're coming. And, fabulous. And keep me posted. Once you meet up, I mean, all that's left to do is storm Riskotech.
So, wait. We're going to a hotel room. And then we should... What, let you know when we're there?
Oh, well, I mean, if you want to, I'm always happy to be kept abreast, but, one of my people will be there waiting for you.
What I'm asking, Harley, is why? Why are we going there? What is this other person gonna do? How do we know we can trust them?
Well, I mean, you know you can trust me, your fucking bestie, so you can trust my people. And as for what it is that they're going to say and do, I mean, I can't tell you over... Pip, I can give you the fucking address, but, like, that's already risking quite a bit, if you know what I'm saying, and I hope you do. Look, they will keep you informed on the plan. The plan for us to meet up for a nice coffee and have a nice chat about my future in Tropo Neo Vega, if you catch my meaning.
Sure, Harley. We got you.
You got me?
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Well, I don't know. What's the vibe? You guys been having fun?
We've been driving for a long time, Harley. Been a long time on the road.
We're
yeah.
Sing-alongs, picnics, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm chilling.
It's just been a lot of travel, and I think we're all kind of tired. So I think we're just gonna let you go now, Harley. And
we
will see you soon,
back,
Harley.
Okay,
all right. Have a good one.
She is a lot.
So much.
We're going to get a lot of money when this is done, though, Crater. A lot of money. You know, you negotiated us an astronomical amount of money. Honestly, I am wondering if she's going to be able to keep up her end of the bargain.
I mean, last we left it, you were trying to negotiate yourself a partnership.
And she said yes.
yes. Risco Tech.
Yeah, we got like, what, 15% of Risco Tech or something like that? It was incredible.
Don't know if percentages were spoken.
Sorry, I don't know why. Yeah.
Damn it, I didn't hang up. She just didn't hang up either. Yeah. She's just sitting there waiting. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. All right. Well, y'all, we have a starting point, and as painful as it is to talk to Harley, I'm a little relieved that we're not starting by trying to walk right in the front door of Risco Tech. So, should we make our way there now, or... Well, I don't know. Crater, did you want to... You used to have an apartment around here. Do you need to make a stop, or do you think it's still there, or...
Oh, I haven't been paying the rent since we left. I'm assuming I still have an apartment, but like I haven't really thought about it in a while.
It's been months since you've been here.
Yeah, but there's good, like, tenants' rights and...
Hell yeah, great point.
Yeah,
great
hell point. Yeah, there
so
are.
I probably still have... My key probably still works. I don't know. I'm also fine just to, like, hey, we're here. We're here on business. Let's, like, go check out the hotel. Suss out if it's the right play.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Business first. Maybe later if there's time. Quick nap in the bathtub of your apartment. But right now, business.
And Simon, I don't want you to think I forgot about getting you a sleazer, too. But that's on the list.
My hero.
So, first order of business. To the hotel at 346 Seaside Drive.
Yeah, let's plug that into the GPS.
Nice.
Yeah.
A lot of one-way streets in Troponio. Yeah. Gotta have a GPS. You gotta have a car, really.
Yeah, it's not a walkable city.
That's poor design. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Well, totally. When you design a city vertically, that's kind of... Well, anyway. Anyway, you plug it into the GPS, and you make your way further into Troponio Vega, and you reach the center of the city in no time at all, seeing as... Troponio Vega takes up much more vertical space than horizontal. It's wet season now, and rain cascades downward onto the hot pavement, evaporating into electric petrichor. The jungle's canopy envelops the city in a familiar dusky neon, regardless of the time of day, and a cacophony of birdsong, the croaking of frogs, the traffic, the hum of electricity. It surrounds you like a buzzing, humid blanket. These smells, sights, and sounds, they evoke strong memories.
Crater, I remember the day that you found me on the street. I was getting roughed up by a gang of 12-year-olds, if I remember correctly. And you step right in and you saved my hide. You were the first really nice person I met since I left Mom and Pa's farm.
Yeah, I remember that. You were trying to sell weed on their corner.
I wasn't trying to sell so much as I just had it, and I offered them some.
Just a bad businessman.
Yeah. Look, I wasn't... I mean, I hadn't really done much thinking about business except for maybe buckle sales, but, you know, I all of that was so beyond me at that point, and I just think about how... Well, it was all simpler, wasn't it?
Oh. That was a fun couple of months that we had when we were roommates living here.
It sure was, Crater.
This is crazy, but I think I can download the moment that you guys first met Riot. Somehow got a slice.
What?
Just that moment when she first saw you guys.
I remember it well. I certainly remember that moment. I remember when she opened the door of that hotel room and, well, I didn't know what to think. I had never seen anybody who... look like that, talk like that, move like that. Ms. Ryan was something else.
She sure was. And Crater, you know, you two had met before, but not like this. This time is different, and it was different to her. It meant a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that job at Risco Tech, that was the first time that Riot and I ever worked together professionally. Before that, I just knew Riot as, like, this party animal that I would run into once in a while at a bar here in Troponio Vega. I mean, like, I'm a big guy, right? And there's not many people that can party me under the table. She was definitely one of them. Oh god, there was this one time, this would have been years ago. We were at some bar here in Troponio Vega. I don't even remember where exactly it was. But this guy came up to Riot and challenged her to a sleazer chugging competition. And being the competitor that she is, she obviously accepted it. Any new person that was walking into that bar 10 minutes later, I guarantee they thought they were walking into a murder scene just by the amount of Clamato juice puke that was on the ground. It looked like there was fucking blood. She just mopped this guy. I think she had like 4 and 5 minutes and he just could not keep up with her.
I don't know how to describe it, except for my heart feels like it's being magnified 1,000 times its size, and its vibrations reverberate across the fifth collide for 1,000 years. It's very warm.
That's how I remember it, too.
It's almost like she's still here. 1,000 years is a long time.
Don't I know it?
Don't you know it?
Hey, Crater, you used to call me and Riot kids, and it turns out now you're the youngest one in the group. I'm gonna be expecting a little more respect out of you, fella.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
In that reminiscence, you continue to drive until you reach Orchid Juncture, an intimidatingly complex 3-tiered roundabout that connects to every tier and district of the city, a Troponeovega landmark surrounded on all sides by long vertical billboards that disappear into the canopy, and a mess of orchids, hibiscus, and jasmine flowers that frame each screen and carpet the facades of the surrounding skyscrapers. In Troponeovega's noisy, crowded center of commerce, you are snapped out of your reverie by the billboards that surround you. The first one that grabs your notice does so because of that familiar sting that you all know to be Breaking Scoop.
In other news, Uncle Edict's campaign to dethrone Regent Ray through emergency election continues, and an outpouring of support that began in Paragarden is currently spreading across the continent like wildfire. Sources close to us are reporting that at least 2 factions are preparing to announce their support for Edict's proposal. And as for our citizens, they've been flooding the lines to Viceroy and faction offices alike, voicing their dissatisfaction with Regent Ray's regime and demanding the emergency election occur. This reporter hasn't witnessed such fervent support for political disruption in his lifetime, and as Edict's campaign picks up steam, Breaking Scoop will be there to keep the Fifth Collide abreast of this promising candidate. In entertainment news, the Fifth Collide has still got the damn good on Wild's fever. Fan covers of Going Off Road, Wrangler's Last Ride, and Belly Full of Rust are flooding social media. And Damn Good on Wild's official merch has been blowing up on the resale market, with band t-shirts going for as much as $500 a piece.
Yo!
We're losing out on a lot of action, guys.
It's a fucking phenomenon.
And with the formerly prolific influencer Riot falling silent on Pip for many weeks now, the question on everyone's lips... What became of the Damn Good and Wilds after the flooding of the CGA arena? Deeplo officials instruct that if anyone sees these stars, they should congratulate them on their recent victory and report them immediately to the Deeplos so that they may deliver their cash prize. Stay tuned for more news on the hour. I'm Tweet Blazerly.
That was fucking rad,
that
by the way.
Rad.
Tweet was awesome. Yes, that was fucking flawless. I loved it.
I feel hot, thank you. And no sooner do you pass the billboard broadcasting this Breaking Scoop, do several others wait for you around the corner, bombarding you with sound. Among them, you pick out part of a Riskotech ad, and one promoting a new Troponeovega branch for the Dr. Dadawel brand. And as you wait at a traffic light amidst the cacophony, you hone in on a familiar voice. Peering upwards at a billboard to your left, you spot a familiar scene. A ray of light pours down from a crumbling cathedral ceiling, illuminating a lush indoor garden of roses surrounded by decaying pews. Petals fall from the ceiling, filling a basket that sits upon the floor, and a hand comes into frame, picking up the basket. The camera pans to reveal 13,
yes,
bedecked in their red specter robes. They make their way slowly through the pews, scattering petals that fall and become black before they hit the floor. And a narration can be heard over the visuals.
My name is Finale 13, Paragarden citizen, specter, follower of death.
If you're near Paragarden, you may recognize me from my recent PIP updates, requesting supplies for the city. And years ago, I had a PIP show, one you might remember. In it, I hope to guide the Fifth Collide to know the Arcana in their own way, to help each being keep faith as they see fit. That show died, as all things must, but for each death, a birth appears on the horizon. And today, I come to announce a birth. The birth of a show funded not by royals, specters, deeplos, or cogs. A show that offers a new perspective, that probes into the connections and motivations of the Fifth Collide's most powerful manipulators, that seeks to transform public awareness to offer an alternative to the sensationalized breaking scoops, sermons, and PSAs we've become so accustomed to. Fifth Collide, I have transformed since you last knew me. Now, let us transform the Fifth Collide together. Join me for news at 13. Premiering soon on PIPs everywhere.
Yep. Fuck yeah.
So sick.
13 for Regent.
13 for Regent.
13 for Regent.
Death for Regent.
Yeah, yeah. Not death to the Regent, just
fuck
for
yeah,
Regent.
Dude. Yeah.
Past the billboards you drive, and you make your way towards 346 Seaside Drive as instructed by Harley. Your destination is set in a line of grand, extravagant, ostentatious hotels. On one side of the road, the Strip. On the other, an ocean view only partially obscured by the dense foliage. The smell of salt wafts from both the sea and the palace-like hotel you pull up to. Constructed of white, perfectly polished stone, with a myriad of pitched gable roofs hoisted by tall Ionic Order columns. The entrance is set back far from the street, so you have to drive by a number of fountains and pools, each with their own statue of someone spitting some sort of dark liquid. Folks mill around the pools with tall glasses of a crimson drink, each adorned with various accoutrements. In one, a stalk of celery. Another, a strip of bacon. And yet another is topped by an entire cheeseburger. Because yes, you've arrived at Caesar's Palace.
Yo!
The birthplace of the Caesars. Appropriately, everyone in the vicinity is imbibing the hotel's namesake. Extra dark, extra spicy.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I like a Caesar as much as the next fella, but the cheeseburger seems a little bit... Yeah,
I'll take the cheeseburger!
Can I, like, cut to the chase and just, like, run and get one? Leaving...
Absolutely.
Your Simon just dives out of a moving vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, grinds to a halt, right, Simon, first of all, in a non-parking zone.
I think that there's, like servers walking around the lobby with, like, trays of Caesars going around.
It was a cold autumn day when she walked into my office. A beautiful picture. She was better than a pair of dice with all sixes. Even dice have sharp corners, though.
Are you Detective Ace Spades?
If that's what it says on the door, sweetheart.
We have much to discuss, you and I.
For 22 years, I've been a detective. For 22 years, I'd been sleuthing out the best value on extra content for my favorite radio plays. Then the best value walks right through my front office door.
So, as I was saying, not only do you get the episodes a day early, you also get access to an exclusive talkback show called Recharge, which is the best way to do deep dives on the episode and the cast. For my money, anyway.
Deep dives? How deep we talking here?
Deeper than you've ever been in a case, Spades. Digging right down to the very core. Hearts and souls on display.
People don't usually come to me with information. What exactly is a woman like you looking for in a place like this?
What are any of us looking for? A good deal? Some great art? Some intriguing stories? I want you to find out just how deep this goes.
So I went deeper. At first, I thought she had a dollar sign where her heart should be, but as I explored www.patreon.com/planetarcana, I started to realize her realizations were just the tip of the iceberg. There's exclusive merch, an art club where supporters receive art in the mail every month, games run by the DMs of the show. Where does it end?
So, they have all that for Patreon subscribers, and they even have a merch store if you want to throw them some occasional support.
Seems like they're in the business of sharing their art with those who love art, and... business is good.
You've done great work here, Detective. Just one more thing.
Like I said, sharp corners.
A deal this good is one I want to keep all to myself.
There's no limit, sweetheart. We can all support the show.
Excitement to check out patreon.com/planetarcana is just the right-handed form of human endeavor. I tell you what, put the gun down, and I'll support it with you.
Fine. I'll see you next time. I need to know how good a deal can be.
Don't forget to tell your friends. Nice girl. Life can be a bucket of bad luck, but sometimes fate rains a little art on your head and you get all excited. Can't blame her for getting gun happy. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have an episode of Recharge to catch up on.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Crater, I have to have, I need to take back my Caesar experience.
Okay, let's go in here and do this. Promise is a promise.
Let's go.
I think like I'll approach like one of these people walking around with the trays, and Simon, I don't want you to have one of these as your first one. It's like I'll go up to one of these people walking around with the tray and be like, are we able to get one of these Caesars, but like, can we make it sleazy?
Oh, how sleazy we talking here.
I want you to spit in it. That's how sleazy I want you to make
Holy
it.
Fuck.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. That in like in the boot, right? You want it in the big tall boot?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
I got you, big boy. Just a second. Just wait by the fountain.
Trust me, it's worth it. It's so worth it.
I figured I'd feel it.
Sorry, Crater. Is spit in it just like a bartending term and you say that, give me a little spit in it, and then they put some stuff, or are they just gonna spit in the drink?
No, so here's the thing. You don't know. That's part of the thrill.
I love enzymes.
And she comes back. All right, one boot Caesar with a little spit. And, well, I just put one of everything on top of it for you. Here you go. And there's, like, a burger. There's several olives. There's a celery. There's beef jerky. There's bacon. And it's a giant boot.
Hell yeah.
Does the boot look new or does it look worn?
Oh, worn, of course.
Of course. A shoey.
All right, boys. Heels up.
Heels up, boys.
Simon drinks deeply. And then goes, wow.
You got to get past the clam. You got to just keep swallowing.
You know?
And get past that clam.
I think that was the problem with the last time is that, well, this one tastes like a punch in the mouth, like an assault on my senses, and I love it.
All right.
I don't even taste the clam. I can't feel anything.
Yeah, well, that's how it's supposed to be. And I think maybe Smartsy just doesn't make a very good Caesar.
I don't think so.
Well,
like, due respect to Smartsy, but like, pick a focus, right? You can't run a school and run a community theater and expect to also be a really good bartender.
100%. No offense.
I mean, have you tried? Someone's trying. You know what I mean?
I mean, no offense to that one specific person in the world listening to this that has those three jobs.
Yeah, no offense. Yeah. My guy.
That makes their Caesars with like just a dash of Worcester sauce.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Give me half the bottle, you know? Give me bad cholesterol with that sodium rip.
Simon. Nope, sorry. Celestine. Crater.
Just said my own name.
Simon.
Too many
sleazers. Celestine. Crater. Thank you so much for reacquainting me with my sleazer love. It's really strong. Really strong. So thank you. I love it. I love it now. Happy.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, and I'm glad you've come around on the Caesar train.
Couldn't be prouder, Simon. Yeah.
Thanks, Dads.
Can I call you Dads?
Don't see why not.
Sure.
I don't know. Is it weird?
I'm comfortable with that.
It's a little kinky, right?
And now I think I'm going to retract my consent.
I actually like that more. Oh. I feel more comfortable with that.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Perhaps we can unpack all of that.
This is a lot of me, I guess.
Another time.
We're mixing them.
Everyone's my daddy.
You mix your dads like you mix your drinks.
Amen.
Sleazy. Sleazy with some spit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Three fingers.
God. It's episode 70.
Jesus Christ, Sean.
Oh my God.
All right, just to be clear, though, Caesar's Palace is not our
Is it the hotel destination?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, oh, wonderful. Okay. All right. I thought maybe we had just gotten distracted by a seasonal. Stop.
Stop. Forcibly stop. A little detour.
Yeah, like the hotel we have to go to is like across the street.
Yeah.
It's the Four Seasons.
I don't know why that got me so good. So stupid.
All right. I think I was like, what's the term that I'm looking for? The person walking with the tray.
The server? Like,
yeah.
I don't know why that word was escaping
I had
me.
The same thing where I was like, I feel like there's a better word for this and I couldn't find it, so I went with server.
Mixologist.
So, like, as like one of the,
I don't know.
as one of the servers is like walking by us with the tray, I'm just going to grab a tray out of their hands and be like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's allowed.
To start walking towards the elevator, I guess. We're going to the ninth floor, if memory serves me correctly.
Room 949.
It'd be weird if it wasn't on the ninth floor.
It's the ninth room on the 94th floor.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. All right. You pile in the elevator with a tray of Caesars, pre-sleezers, and you make your way up to the ninth floor and make your way over to room 949. And you see that it is just barely ajar. Or actually, no, this is the kind of hotel that, like, the doors don't auto-lock. Like, you know those hotels that have doorbells on them?
I have never stayed in a fancy enough place to be a doorbell.
I never have either, but I saw it in a movie once. Okay. Yeah, so I have to assume that that's real, and Hollywood hasn't lied to me.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, movies would never lie to me.
So it's the kind of hotel where there's like a doorbell on the door, and yeah, the door is just, there's no lock on it. You can just open it. And you do. Unless you don't want to, for some reason. We're good. We can move on. Okay, you open the door. I'm nailing this. The first thing that greets you in this room is the salty, earthy smell of the Worcestershire pools. Worcester.
Worcester.
Worcester?
Worcestershire.
The salty, earthy smell of the Worcester pools. In this room alone stands three pools, each a different shape, each with dark brown Worcester jets ablazing. Next to a pool, you see a floral blouse and cream blazer draped across a chair. And in the pool, you see a very familiar cloud android. Even from his seated position in the pool, you can tell he's tall and slight. He wears shorts made of fine linen and densely patterned with flowers. In one hand, he holds a dark red Caesar. He turns when you enter, and his face shifts to a smile, especially when his eyes land on you, Crater.
Oh, there's my man. We ready for a heist?
Arbor?
Arbor?
Arbor.